There we go. Welcome. Hello, everyone. My name is Tennyson Wolfe, and you are joining into something called the Human to Human podcast. This is something that I created a while ago because I just wanted to have some conversations with some people that I love and people that I appreciate or people that I'm learning with. And today is a little bit of a reboot slash refresh of being able to do some of that. So I've invited a particular friend and colleague and guest to join, and we'll just say a little bit about her in a moment. But this Human to Human podcast comes from a lot of important narratives for me. There is something about just being humans with one another and reclaiming the, you know, the art of being with one another in realness or in general or in a curiosity with one another. I think there's so much to learn and be in together just in a space of thinking, feeling, learning, connecting out loud with one another. And the human to human narrative is one that just stands out to me. In all the work and stuff that I get to do, I find that I so often come back to all of that, and maybe we're just trying to be good humans with one another. So with that said, I see you on the screen, Linnea. I'm welcoming you, Linnea Bjorkman, to the podcast episode today. I'm so glad to have you here.
Ah, thank you. It's so much fun. I'm excited to catch up with you.
Yeah, and we've just deliberately not had a big pre-hello with one another so that we can be in sort of the freshness and the liveness of our hello with one another, because it's a return in some way. You and I have some association through the circle, through circle work and the circle way. I know of some of you, like that means practicums and some workshops, those kind of things. And we've remained in some connection. You reached out a few times around some of the work that you're doing in community and what I keep remembering as just an overall orientation to wholeness with human beings. And you're someone who works in community. So there's just lots of love and connection that has me reaching out. I guess this started back in December, where you and I were in a bit of an email thread. And I said, hey, you know, I'm going to kind of refresh this little podcast. Would you like to join?
Yeah.
What kind of hellos would you like to say here, Linnea?
Well, I've been thinking about you and our time together on Whidbey Island with all our other folks.
Goes back.
And Amanda Fenton, yeah. And just trying to like hold on to and keep revisiting all of that wisdom that I gleaned from that time, because I've been working with a few different communities around the Denver metro area, yes, who are really interested in, you know, creating this sense of shared leadership and intentional process to the way that they gather and the way that they move their mission and purpose forward. And so the circle way is actually, I really like honed in, you know, I've done so much like community organizing and asset-based community development stuff, but it's been really fun to have these, you know, this more narrow focus where I get to just help people, you know, decide what tools within the circle way are helpful for them, and then kind of like take little bits and pieces from other practices. But and I find myself quoting you sometimes.
Oh boy.
yeah
Well, I remember back to that too. That's definitely a key point in the association that I have with you, is those circle practicums, and I think an advanced practicum you came to also when we were on Whidbey. That was work with Amanda. That was such a sweet period, all in a pre-COVID way of life and, you know, the connections and things that we had. And that is such a key body for me also. I have such a, you know, such a love and respect for Christina Baldwin and Anne Linnea. They are, you know, the core central circle peeps for me, and dear friends and dear elders. And then some others along the way also that I just feel like I've been able to work and live with. Quinita Robertson is one, Penny Hamilton in Australia is another, some key men, Bob Stilger, Toka Mueller, Phil Kass, you know, that have shown up as people are so devoted to not just a methodology, but gosh, like how do we create connection and sweet learning amongst each other? I wonder how you relate to all of that, or, you know, what's surfacing in your continued work in this way.
Yeah. Well, as you were just mentioning people, I'm thinking about my mentor, Mike Green, who's all about asset-based community development, but he's been my real like cheerleader around what I'm doing with Whole Root One and the Circle Way. And and to quote you.
Hey, oh my gosh, here we are again.
You like to say that there's a way that we can be circle-y, you know, in any moment of our lives. And I think about that a lot because I find myself saying in all aspects of my life, like, I want to be intentional. I want to be intentional about this. I want to be intentional about that. And even just like in moments like this, okay, so how am I truly listening while you're speaking? And then how am I speaking intentionally when it's my turn to contribute? And and so that's another thing that was bubbling up for me, is just being circly in all of all of the facets of my life.
Can I throw a new word into that? Like the playfulness of combining words together, because this came to me, I think, as just like yesterday, you know, as I was thinking about you and us having this conversation and realizing that, you know, we do have some formal circling in us, and some of what you're naming around what it means to listen in a deliberate circle setting, and what it means to speak or contribute in a deliberate setting. And I realize in this podcast mode that it's not quite so strongly circled, but it is conversation and it's still circly. Like, I hold that as a background. So the new word that came to me was converse circly. And just wanting to be like, welcome the spirit of converse circly. I don't think I can do things without some background of circle intent and possibility in me. And sometimes it's like, we do get to be a little more conversational. It's one of the, you know, it's one of the things that we name within the circle way. Not all circles are a pass the peace thing. Some are, you know, talking peace councils, and some are silent councils, and some are popcorns. You know, we've got all that going on.
Yeah. And don't you find that like conversation, converse circle-iness is the most challenging, because it's like this, you are kind of like ping-ponging back and forth, because, and that's like the point of it. But there's less space in between, like, the two people contributing.
Right.
So it's like, how do we create that space while we're having this dialogue? I think it's something that's happening in the background, like internally. Maintaining that like awareness of everything you're saying while I'm still figuring out how I want to contribute. And
well, gosh darn it, you know, this is pretty darn circly stuff, but I know for me, this is over the years, so in an over the years kind of noticing way, there's some things about connecting and being with others that I have found I can't not do anymore. And one of those, I love the double negative of that. One of the can't not do's for me is some level of just like baseline center. There is a center here. You and I are looking at each other on a screen right now. And yay for Zoom and all of that. But there's a can't not imagine some kind of space that lives between us, or between the 8 of us or 12 of us or 37 of us when we gather together, that is what we're feeding and what I find I'm trying to feed or I'm oriented to. And I'm trying to listen from also in a way that is so much more than conversational banter or clever remarking together. You know, this is like the deep learning thread to me also. I wonder if you've got some can't not do's.
Well, I mean, as part of my intention, at least, of course I mess up because I'm human, is this underlying kindness and just trying to be, it's so hard because we never know when we're going to say something that might rub someone the wrong way or, but if I have an intention of kindness, then people know that even if I do say something that perhaps does create friction, they know, oh, my intention was kindness. That's something I'm thinking.
Because they feel it, right? Like that's something that I really count on. And yep, as part of the imperfect human club, and it seems even weird to say that, I know that I'm going to mess it up sometimes with the best of intentions. And yet I find I don't want to lead with a fear of messing up. I do want to lead with an invitation for me and the rest of us to, you know, be in the kindness is an important word to me, but be in a, you know, in a kind to self, kind to other, kind to circumstance way of being temporarily in this deliberateness of connection and listening together.
Yeah. And actually, like these two things, I feel like, you know, your contribution of the image of the center, the analogy that I like to use when I'm, you know, facilitating workshops around it is the compost bin and how, you know, like we're all contributing our unique things to the compost bin, and then it's transforming it into what we actually need as a whole group. And so all the things that are going in there, they, you know, some of the things seem like, oh, they don't have a use anymore. But then when we put them in the center, then they bring forth what we do need. So maybe we can use that analogy too with things that we might contribute that that do create that, like what feels like conflict or friction or whatever, but it's in the center, and then it gets to become something more productive.
What people wouldn't have seen that I just did with you is I'm shaking my hands in that way that's like, oh yeah, speak it, you know, you got it, you're nailing it. I so appreciate that kind of metaphor. I'm a person that needs metaphor. I need visual reality and visual, you know, just the reality, all of that. You know that I'm a person that sort of oft references soup and the stew and the spices we bring and all of that. But I'm really appreciating the compost metaphor because I think compost of some of it needs to sit for a while and some of it needs a little heat for a while and some of it needs a spin, you know, those kind of things. And what a, it feels like what a promising and kind way to try to be human beings with one another. Can you share a little, how's Whole Root Wonder going?
Oh man.
And what are you up to?
Well, I've been, one fun thing that I'm doing on the regular is I'm teaching chair yoga classes in memory care facilities.
Yeah.
And it's such a refreshing part of my day when I get to do that because I've always adored being around elders and I always leave feeling better than when I arrived when I'm teaching that. And it's a way that I can bring, you know, an energy of like self-care and self-nurturing and, nice. And they each get to participate in the way that feels good for them. And so I do that and I've done.
What goes into chair yoga? And you're talking about elders and maybe some olders, like some combo of some people have got a few years behind them, right? What goes into chair yoga?
Well, for me, I've found that each Each home that I visit is unique in what resonates for them, and so I kind of create this recipe for each group of people. Because some people, so I got into, through doing the chair yoga, I got into laughing yoga as well. And so some of the groups really love the laughing, and other groups they don't at all. But if I do incorporate that, it is what it sounds like. It's basically just finding ways to laugh, and that stimulates so much joy, and it gets the abdominals all heated, which I think contributes to working on, your balance and stability throughout the day. But I always do breathing and movement, and specifically like moving with the breath. And it can be, I mean, we do simple of movements as just, I know you can't see my hands tapping my thighs, but like tapping down on your thighs on the exhale, and inhale, tap the shoulders, like just the most simple things. But as we're like synchronizing the breath with the movement, it's so therapeutic. But then we do some things that are strengthening options for both meditation and breath work and visualization.
Well, I'm excited about everything that you're saying, and I'm excited with the bias of knowing some of you, but also just remembering quirkier language, but still relevant. It's something about your vibration, like who you are as a being, from these circle encounters that we've had. And so, somewhere between actually being in the same room with you together in those contexts that we were describing, and some of the continued periodic connections along the way, there is, I guess I'm a person who remembers feeling that way. Like I might lose some of the data, but I remember the feeling. And so as you describe these kinds of things that you're doing in the centers, it just feels exciting to me and encouraging. Like I think there's something about the simple things that any of us can practice or just invite, at whatever level you're at, kind of thing, or come along for the ride on this one. There's something about just inviting the simple that might contribute a little overarching health and well-being. Like, that's cool. Do you find yourself like, are you busy? How's your busyness layer these days with any of those things?
Well, I so the chair yoga has been one piece, and then I do some gardening and teaching of gardening and permaculture classes too. And so this is like my slow season in that capacity. I do have three communities that I'm working with on the Circle Way, and I help connect them to grants so that they can, because most of them are actually all of them are a nonprofit, so I help connect them to grant opportunities to actually then be able to work with me. And so I'm at like a bit of a holding pattern with some of the things right now, because the new grant cycle is coming up, and but it, I'm like in anticipation of working with so well, I'll just tell you a little bit about the communities because
Please.
it's helpful and fascinating. So one of them is called the African Wisdom Connections Organization, and they're working on getting their 501c3, and they're out in Aurora, Colorado. And they are a group of primarily women, and they're from various countries in Africa, and some of them are refugees. And they are working on creating an educational opportunity that would help equip folks to work in actually elder care facilities,
Nice.
which is kind of like a neat tie-in with the fact that I spend a lot of time in them. And so they wanted a way of creating shared leadership so that, because so often in nonprofits and community groups, you know, it ends up that the leadership gets taken on by two or three people, and those people are really overwhelmed, and then everyone else is kind of sitting back a little bit. And so it's been a way for them to notice the gifts and skills and abilities of everybody involved and work in that direction. And they've been used to gathering in circle as a part of their traditions as well, so it's not this foreign to them necessarily. But it's interesting to tie in the circle way principles and practices to complement this already like really rich experience that they always create. Like there's always music and dancing and food. Oh my God. And then this other group I'm working with in Lakewood, Colorado, they have housing communities for folks who were previously houseless and unaccompanied refugee and immigrant youth. And they do a beautiful job of already gathering intentionally and having traditions that bring people into the fold. Like even just simple things like before they eat a meal, everybody goes like this and they go, "Blessings on the meal."
And you're flapping your arms there.
Yes. And then I'm just starting to work with Colectivo de Paz, which is a nonprofit that's doing a lot of it just seems like they're doing so much to bring the community together and provide services. And so because my work is so, you know, have like these three different aspects of my business, and then, you know, it's like this ebb and flow of throughout the year, I don't feel very busy right now. Getting back to your original question, I don't feel very busy right now, but it's like this building up toward all the things I will be doing. And
I remember from some of the emails, I'm on your list. I get your emails, it seems, and notices and a few photos and things that go with it. And the impression I have, you know, whenever I sit at my counter, which is where I am now and often am for in a working sort of way, and that includes emails and all that kind of stuff. When I get your emails, there's a part of me that, I don't know what, like just cheers a little extra and appreciates sort of the range of what you're up to. Because of the being that you are and the human that you are, you know, the things that we offer to people, I feel like they are most potent when we live them ourselves. Our practices become invitations with others. And sometimes that's in a communal setting and, you know, lots of other things also. But there's a part of me that I remember in seeing your emails kind of cheering for the, oh gosh, yay, you know, and now the gardening and the permaculture piece of it, like health and well-being at so many different layers there. So that's just like a little bit of gush of appreciation towards you for your version of how to welcome yourself and others into a holistic practice, holistic being, something like that.
Yeah, there's a term, new term going around, multi-potentialite.
Do tell.
I officially identify as a multi-potentialite. And, you know, some people, I think they end up feeling like, you know, they're dabbling so much in so many different things that they're not becoming really good at any one thing.
Yeah.
But it's been cool for me to take, you know, these three main passions and really like hone in my skills on those things and highlight areas of my skills that, well, like one thing I'm doing is I'm back to teaching some yoga classes in Spanish as well. Yeah. And I have my program Alas de Yoga that over the years has offered Spanish yoga. And so just finding those ways to really offer things that bring me joy. And like you're saying, if I'm offering what brings me joy, then what I'm offering is going to feel good to the people that are doing it. So
multi-potentialite. Whoops. See, that tripped a little bit right at the last part. I think I lost the last two syllables.
Multi-potentialite.
Yeah, there's a lot that can happen. Like, there are many of us that have things to offer. Multiple potentials. Being the person. That's beautiful. You might be speaking to some of that right now about the joy. Is there some kind of inner Linnea code that guides you? Code, I don't know what, you know, the essence pattern, the DNA, in that code language, it feels more a direction that I don't like to go myself, but an operating code, you know, something like that. Is there something that you have discovered at the core that is just like Linnea code wherever you show up?
Wow, that's a good question. Well, I think, like most of us who are flawed humans, there's always a bit of
flawed, beautiful humans.
Yeah. There's always a bit of, like, you know, insecurity and lack of confidence that lingers in the background. But I think that I, since I'm able to, in most cases, show up as I am in any given space, maybe it's that, like, just shining my me-ness.
My me-ness is what you said, M-E, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and then beyond that, I mean, I think that intention toward kindness and compassion, and I can feel when my, like, the, and then, like, speaking to, like, the non-core part of me, but, like, I can feel when the judgments and criticism of others comes up, but then I tune back in with what I know to be true, which is that if we are primarily focused on kindness and connection, that we can experience my favorite, I'm looking at my book, Braiding, oh, you maybe can't see it with this lighting, but Braiding Sweetgrass.
Yes.
Robin Wall Kimmerer.
Yeah.
Kimmerer. She talks ad nauseum about mutual reciprocity.
Right.
And I think that's something that I'm just slowly is becoming a part of, like, the core part of who I am, is just recognizing that, and it like ties in so well with the work that I do, that everyone is coming to the table with their own person, their own background. And we're all functioning in a way that feels good to us, and we're all contributing in the way that feels best to us. And so appreciating that and finding the ways that we do connect, as opposed to focusing on the differences.
Which has grown, I feel like I got something on my face, which has grown to be so patterned or ingrained. Like, it just feels like there's a lot of spaces where I don't think we're trying to get to the to the complaint of it all, but it's so deeply ingrained, or maybe traumatized, or maybe dramatized also. Like, we're working so many layers these days. It's one of the things that I relate to also, Linnea, of, you know, without being bullshitty about anything, it matters to invite, maybe sometimes invoke a narrative and a, like a purpose narrative or a possibility narrative, a potential narrative even, to say, here's what I think we might be able to do today. And I'm finding that the more I back up in that narrative, you know, it's less about we're going to get this, this, and this done, and we're going to solve this problem. I rely on those kind of narratives that are, we might find a little more kindness together, or we might find a little more clarity together, to go with all of these things that we care about so much. We might back up enough to remember some of that, you know, deep humanness that we hold and that has sort of been stripped out institutionally in so many places. I am so appreciative of that kind of invitation from the heart and from the belly. And I find people want to hear that too, skewed a little bit by, I guess, the folks that I hang out with and get to continue working with or start anew working with. But boy, I find people hungry to hear that. Do you?
Yeah. It's one thing I've noticed about myself in, well, in most circumstances, like unless it's, you know, a certain time of the month and I'm more irritable than other days. But a lot of people tell me that when I'm in their space, that it's like a calming and nurturing sort of.
Yeah, I know that with you.
And people are really hungry for, I know sometimes people don't see the three aspects of my business as tied together, but it's so interesting. The more that I do it, the more I see, for instance, in yoga, you know, I think I'm with my practice and my meditation, and I think I'm able to hold that space of, like the connection to my breath can just be this reminder in a social situation that, oh yeah, I'm here and you're there. And there, you know, you can create this, this nice, it's like a sense of autonomy, but then appreciation of the connection. And then same thing with the earth and like being in the dirt and this connection that we can feel when we're cultivating something out of seemingly nothing. And people are really energized by that sense of just connection to something outside of themselves. And when you're in the dirt and you see like this worm or this microorganism and you're, or you know that the microorganisms are there, you can't necessarily see it. I don't know if I answered the original question.
Do you find, we'll just keep following it here. Do you find that there are some many ways that you invite people into that relationship with earth, round, dirt, fingernails, you know, any of that? Are there some many ways that you find yourself doing that when it's not a permaculture and a gardening thing that you're offering?
Yeah. The first thing I thought of when you were saying that is sometimes when I'm teaching yoga, I'll do a visualization of that the weight of your body is being held and supported by the earth. You know, because usually the classes I'm teaching are indoors, and so the connection to the actual earth is limited by a bunch of concrete. But that visualization is one way that I do it. It's like, okay, just like imagine the earth rising up to meet you and support your whole body.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I was saying before, my primary work partner over the last 7 years is a woman named Quinita Robertson. We've just done some really cool things and quite a body of work together. rite of passage program circle workshop we just completed in December. And as part of the rite of passage program in that particular structure, we had three physical in-person gatherings that sort of got varied in COVID, but, you know, back to being able to meet in person now. And in the last retreat that we do with folks at this beautiful retreat center called Hope Springs in Ohio, we dedicated really 90 minutes to 2 hours as a way to give back to the Institute and the land and its place. And the first time that we did this, it was just like a huge weeding project of a little garden that had been overrun and all of that kind of stuff. And they have got some really keen people there also that lead with an environmental message, invitation, and platform. Like, they want to be in right relations with the land. But my point was, you know, here we're inviting these, in that case, I think it was 20 people to come out and let's be in relationship with the land. Like, bring some clothes that you're not worried about getting dirty. And, you know, then the Institute had its shovels and spades and all of those kind of things. It was, well, I should probably qualify. It may not have been the same satisfaction for everybody. And there were, you know, there were choices of how to be involved in that. I found it so deeply satisfying. Like, let us just come and, you know, little less of the head and in whatever way heart and belly shows up to be, you know, yummy in the dirt. And then the satisfaction of we 20 people putting in 90 minutes-ish of that communal attention with the land. Gosh, that was satisfying. There was something so beautiful about that. So when I hear you speak about even just the small ways, and I ask the question of the small ways, you naming the meditation, this earth beneath us, you know, just the invitation to feel it, it seems like that I love the simple yet impactful, profound ways that the tiniest of things can just even hold us there for a moment. And again, I'll circle back, all in the name of, oh gosh, let us do our best to be healthy, whole, you know, communal, all of it.
Yeah. And I find that I also do it the other way around too, where so I have a Patreon page, and the people who are members of that get my like meditations and nice gardening content that helps support their gardening journey, and yoga, both like chair yoga and floor yoga and laughing yoga.
Yeah.
But anyway, one of the things that I intentionally do with that content is I do incorporate like the gardening in with the yoga and vice versa. So for instance, when I did a piece on how to trellis and prune your tomatoes, nice, I talked about there's this process that you do called you prune off what are called the suckers, mm-hmm, of the plant. And the suckers are essentially, they're coming off of the main stem and they're trying to become a whole nother tomato plant. And so they're called suckers because they suck energy from the main stem. And so you prune them off so the plant can keep growing up and produce more fruit, even though it feels like you're like taking off something that should be growing. And so I talk about, there's a phrase that's used quite widely in yoga where you say, you know, you're letting go of things that no longer serve you.
Right. Yeah.
And I think about that when I'm gardening too, like your weeding project that you were doing in community, weeding or pruning, we're cutting away or taking out the things that are sucking energy from the main stem, you know?
Right.
And so I like to think about that as a meditation when I'm out in the garden. And, because I think that the tendency can be to feel like, gotta get this weed out of here. And like, oh, there's so many suckers, prune them off.
Right.
But if we reframe it and think about it therapeutic letting go and like sloughing off of this stuff that we don't need anymore. And then it can go in the compost pile and it can be transformed into energy.
There's something potent in that. I definitely have become a person that, again, back to the narrative, which sounds way too fancy pantsy the way that I mean it. Like, I'm just trying to invite and name what might be our real story here, or another one of our real stories here. And so to be involved in any kind of reframe, I find this is the kind of human being that I am right now. And I love being able to connect it. But the reframing is, you know, what if this were an act of love? Sometimes love looks like pruning off the suckers. And sometimes love looks like, you know, fill in the blank with a lot of things here. But to bring us back to an energy of love. I am listened to, there's an International Peace Education Day, something like that, that was going on yesterday. And I joined in for a little bit. It's another one of the storylines that is compelling to me, a practice for peace and how do we contribute in such ways. But there were a series of speakers and I listened, and one of the, I think he's a former general director or something of UNESCO. And he said, look, love is the solution. And I love coming back to that. And then inviting myself, others, of course, to be in even just that energy. You know, what if love were the solution? And what does it look like in this situation, this community, this wicked journey, all of those kind of things? I am the kind of human that just has to come back to that these days. Something in my poetic heart has to come back to that also.
Yeah. If I had a bell right now,
it could ring the bell. And yet I love the symbol, you know, that's beautiful. Well, listen, Linnea, when I invited you into this, I sort of popped out an email that was some of my refreshing intent to refresh, you know, what is this podcast thing? And I sort of gave you the informality of language, and I said some things like, looking back at the email now, don't need to rush. We won't cover everything. We'll leave out some good stuff. And I invited, like, you can swear, you can laugh, you can stumble, you can cry, you can get serious, you can get silly. And something about being able to offer a tone of, in this case, the two of us connecting / reconnecting with just a few of the things that matter in this part of human journey. Is that now wicked, unfair question? Is there anything else that you would like to add in the spirit of, we're here on a, well, we're recording on a Wednesday morning, but you know, that you would like to share?
Well, I guess the main thing I'm feeling is just gratitude for staying in communication with you. And I think one thing that feels nice about our friendship and kind of collegial relationship is this sense that, you know, we're both each other's teacher, and and that feels really nice, because I think I started out those workshops with you as that feeling, this sense of just awe for what you bring to the circle, and I just, so I guess I'm just expressing my appreciation that you bring me into this sense of, like, you know, how am I offering my wisdom to, and I think that's what a really great, like, mentoring friendship does, is it encourages to be more of who we are, and recognize that, and be in this, like the Robin Wall Kimmerer, you know, this reciprocal relationship. So, you.
Oh my gosh, I receive that in my heart. Thank you for that. I so relate to we are each other's teachers as a general way of living, and or we have medicine for that matter, and also to the notion of that life itself is a teacher here, or maybe the teacher for that matter. So just grateful for your spirit, your energy in all of that. People may have some curiosity about how to track down Linnea. Can you offer a central place where they might do such?
Yeah. Well, wholerootwonder.com.
WHOLE.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where you can link up with the social media too, which is usually where I'm posting events and special like workshops and things, but also where you can message me and also just see everything that I'm offering and yeah, hopefully people want to connect in some way, shape or form. And sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes it's like all of the, actually I had one person become a patron who was like, I was specifically looking for someone who was doing yoga and gardening stuff. So.
Well, you've landed in the right place.
Hello.
There you are. That's right. Beautiful. I'm going to pause our recording. You and I can have a proper goodbye, or another layer of proper goodbye off of the recording. Okay. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Okay, so now it's just me, Tennyson, back. I've said goodbye to Linnea and thanked her. And just going to talk a little bit about her. Excuse me. And some of what was coming out of that space. Gosh, I love Linnea's, there is a groundedness, and she spoke to it. It's so palpable to me. So there's something in her as a person that I so appreciate in her, whatever that life is, whatever that integration and practice that she's in. It just makes me feel very, very appreciative. I love the combos. Oh my gosh, you know, the bringing together the world of yoga, the world of breath, and different kinds of yogas, the world of gardening. And I know some of the just like and circle the communal conversation kind of stuff that she does. So, you know, there's a way that I think I leave from this conversation with her, just feeling renewed by all of that and what she's sharing. So that's pretty good. Not to forget some of the just catchy words that are in there. Multipotentialite, the me-ness. Oh my gosh, I love words like that and find myself using them. And then some of the narratives that Linnea was talking about. So by way of kindness and connection and even a little bit of reciprocity in that. So all of those things feel really yummy. I hope this is something that you enjoy, listeners. Going to be settling into some more conversations like this. And chose, by the way, to make this one a little longer. When I started out the podcast, I was really looking more at 20-minute episodes. And I know that serves in a lot of ways. But I am giving myself a bit of permission to be in the longer form. Of these, so you know, the 45 minutes to an hour version, to use that as a way to like reclaim or maybe restore another kind of realness together. I know I have that in my heart, and it's in so many of the hearts of others that I'm with, all in the name of trying to be some good humans with one another. So thank you for joining today and listening. My website is tennysonwolf.com. It's all there. And are there any other words to share for right now? Just thanks for being in touch and for sharing the podcast today if you feel inspired to do so. Thanks. Bye-bye.